The seasons change, but Talkin' Preps remains your best source for high school sports chatter in the metro area and sometimes beyond. And you know why, Jim Paulson? Because just like our sound levels, we are mostly right. There you go.
And let's not make that political. We're right down the middle when we're talking about high school sports here. So.
And I am on the screws when it comes to predicting the 6A championship game score for the Prep Bowl. I had it 28-21 Lakeville North. That's how it ended up. You wanted to go back and talk football. I had to start there.
Yeah, it was. I think that Lakeville North Eden Prairie championship game was the game that we all anticipated. We all wanted to see in the finals. I mean, like we, I asked Brian Vossen in the post game press conference. I mean, if you want to be the best, you have to beat the best. Is that correct? And he agreed. You know, it meant a little bit more to him. He said that they did it by beating Eden Prairie. And why not? I mean, that's a program that's won, 11 state championships, and had beaten them in the state championship in 2012 and also a few times in the state playoffs in recent years. So I think that Lakeville North got, I'm not going to say revenge, but a little bit of satisfaction, a little bit more satisfaction in winning the 6A championship over Eden Prairie.
The game itself, yes, it was the matchup we all wanted, all anticipated. The game was as good as we could have hoped, and the ebbs and the flows, and Eden Prairie starting fast with the you know, I think it was just a quick out to Wolf Brewshaver, and he turned it into a 49-yard touchdown. Then Lakeville North hits back, ties it up. Then Lakeville North goes ahead. They kind of match Eden Prairie on the big play, hitting a 73-yard pass for a touchdown.
A pass, nonetheless.
Say, which is not their modus operandi. And now you're 14-14. And then I think and then Eden Prairie gets up. Munson gets loose for 80 yards. I'm sure that's one, you know, winning aside, that one's got to be the one that Fossen tears his hair out over, because 80-yard touchdown against that defense shouldn't happen. But there it was, and now Eden Prairie's up, and then Lakeville North. I think Brian Curtis Jr., the tailback, makes as big of a play as they've had all season when he completes that pass into tight coverage to Rajah Nelson, a halfback pass, to set up the touchdown that tied it at halftime. I thought that was as big a play as they've had all season.
Scores before halftime are always momentum changers. I agree with you on the Amundsen touchdown for Eden Prairie that I'm sure Vossen is pulling his hair out. Although, you know, I've always contended, well, defenses at all levels will set themselves up to not give up big plays. It's used to be called the prevent defense. I've always said that I think that getting beat on dinks and dunks and where a team cannot be stopped and they just keep taking what they want and keep moving down the field methodically can be more demoralizing. You know, hey, a guy gets lucky once in a while, hits a home run, or, you know, breaks through a tackle and goes for 80. You know, that's good for him. He deserves the accolades. But, you know, overall, I think Lakeville North's defense really came to play in the second half, and there was a key moment there where I think Curtis fumbled on the second or third play, I think it was, of the second half. And two plays later, was it one play or two plays later, you know, after Eden Prairie had been set up in Lakeville North territory with the game tied and momentum on their side, where Eli Malstart made a terrific play stripping the Eden Prairie running back and getting the ball back. And it was a quick flip of momentum, and I think that really cemented Lakeville North's resolve in that second half, because it was a much more defensive game, much more like we've seen in previous years. Matter of fact, Lakeville North came down and scored on a touchdown, I believe, on that drive, and I don't think they had a first down the rest of the way.
Yeah, they're just high drama. Yeah, that was Curtis's second fumble of the game. His defense picks him up, and then, you know, you remember that play. Eli takes it away. He didn't get it on the carpet and then pick it up. He took it out of the back's hands and starts running the other way. And Wolf Brewshaver comes in from his receiver position, takes him out kind of from behind at the back of the legs, which I can't really blame him. I'm not saying he should turn around and come back head on, but that's a dangerous play. And
absolutely.
When Mostart went down, I thought, oh, man, that might be the end of him for tonight. But and that would have been a big loss.
Well, he did go out for a while, and I guarantee that Saturday and Sunday, and he was probably pretty sore all weekend long, because that was a tough hit, an unexpected one, too, where he couldn't brace for it.
You wish you could not have a hit like that in the game, but again, what's Wolf Brewshaver supposed to do exactly? I don't know.
Yeah, and that's part of the problem. I think we've seen with football at every level is we continue to try to take, or the powers that be continue to try to take contact out of a contact sport, which just always makes me laugh. But I agree with you on that aspect. One thing I wanted to ask you is going in the Prep Bowl. 3 years now, a private school team from the Metro has won the Class 4A title. Middle St. Margaret's, Holy Angels, and now SMB, which combines three private schools, actually. And I know that's something that you get your dander up a little bit. You get the hairs in the back of your neck come up when people talk about private school success. What are your thoughts on SMB?
I made a cheap shot reference in the press box when they threw a late touchdown that I thought was unnecessary, and that's all. And then I calmed down, so it's fine. You know, they won it. Good for them. Bigger picture, I do wish the high school league would implement the I think it's a success formula where, by if you win a championship or you performed a certain number on a matrix, you get moved up regardless of what your enrollment says or anything like that. But yeah, so. Minor issue, was no big deal at the time. Just threw a cheap shot out there. That happens. thanks for outing me to everybody.
Well, I didn't say anything about the cheap shot. I just wanted to ask
you
your opinion.
Oh, you ripped me right back in the press box.
Oh, in the press box, but that wasn't for public consumption. But now it's out there.
None of this was supposed to be.
It's floating out there for everybody. You know, well, let's be honest. You have in the past taken private schools to task. Dave Thorson. When he was at De La Salle, it was a constant give and take after championship games where he knew you were going to ask him that question right off the bat. Should he move up? So it's not a new issue. But
and the best part is the 1 year he tried to head me off at the pass wasn't a year where any change was possible anyway. So he kind of jumped the gun. So that was part of what made it fun. His paranoia.
Going back to SMB, what a terrific performance by Jalen Suggs. I mean, he showed every bit of the athleticism and the strength of skill that we anticipated, not just passing but running and playing defense. And he was certainly not a one-man team, but you know, he made the difference in that game.
Yeah, as much as from a team standpoint, Lakeville North and Eden Prairie was everything we hoped it would be and more. You got that from Suggs' individual performance as well, and great showcase for that young man for sure. And I'm seeing conflicting reports on the Twitter that say
Twitter.
It was his last high school football game.
Is that also on the interweb?
Yeah, it is. that was his last high school football game. Then someone quoted him saying he'll be back next year. I think it's all a matter of who gets in his ear and how much they do, and maybe if he makes a decision on his future and how that affects it. It'd be great to see him back, but you know, you gotta understand the kid can't. You know, he already missed a couple games this year because of an injury in basketball season, so he has to be watching himself.
Yeah, and that's interesting that the injury did happen in basketball season. You would think that football would be the more the sport with the biggest risk, but it was a basketball injury. And it could also be an overuse injury. I mean, he plays a lot of basketball. He plays all year round. Even during the football season, he was traveling to different places, different college visits. And so that maybe Jalen Suggs could use a few weeks of a break just to rest and let his body heal. But, man, he was fantastic.
And he did that without his best receiver who left town before the year. So credit to them for regrouping and coming back even better.
And played probably their best game of the state playoffs in the championship game. I mean, the other games they had won had been tightly contested. I think every game had been by 8 points or less. And then they go and they beat a very talented Wilmer team, offensively explosive Wilmer team, and they held them to 18 points. And that was a testament to a defense that I think we underrated all year long. I mean, we talk about Suggs and some of the offensive players they have on SMB, Craig McDonald, who also plays defense, Siegel Howard, who also plays defense. But that defense that SMB showed off is, I think, a bigger reason why they won a championship. Class 5A. We're just waiting. We're waiting for Jason Williamson to break out. And the first half, St. Thomas Academy held him in check, and it was just a matter of time. I think everybody was waiting for that big play, and they got it. 71 yards, start of the second half, turns a 3-0 deficit into a 7-3 lead, and St. Thomas Academy just could not generate any offense after that.
Well, and you discussed, I think, a second ago there, SMB's defense. You know, how about Otana's defense? I mean, they allowed 3 points. I mean, that's it's hard to lose when that's the case. And I watched some of that game live, and I turned it back on when I got home. And, yeah, it looked for a while it was going to be a 7-3 finish. And then, you know, like I've said before with Williamson, tick, 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 bang. And he went off, and there they were. You know, on easy, you know, able to put it away with the 14-3 lead.
And you're right about that Ohtani defense. Just as impressive was the game before that. They had Elk River, a team that scored 80 points in a game this year, and is used to running up big offensive totals, to just 8 points in the semifinals. So as much as we want to make it about Jason Williamson, and he is a fantastic player, you know, the Ohtani defense deserves just as much credit for their championship as he does.
All of these Prep Bowl champions, you know, you talk about Foles and Nine Man, another guy that's a one-man wrecking crew. But it's like Vossen said in the post game. He said, you know, we used to be a defensive team or whatever. We were just a team. You know, we became just a team, not a defense, not an offense. We were just a team at Lakeville North, and that's why they got it done. I think that could be, you know, the motto or the statement you put on any of the seven champions.
You brought up Vossen. Let me ask you a question about Brian Vossen. He's a terrific coach. He's had a ton of great players over at Lakeville North. He's developed a lot of great players. They've had a pretty high-level football program over there under Brian Vossen. Now that he's won a championship, how do we assess him as a coach in the high school realm? Would you consider him among the top coaches in the Metro?
Yeah, I would have before he won the Prep Bowl, but I think the Prep Bowl just gives you that added credibility. You know, now he's got it, and Darren Lamker, when he won at Osseo a few years back, you already had, you know, Ferguson and Grant kind of block out the sun with all of the different titles they've won over the years. But yeah, there's that tier. You know, you think about Lombardi. I think he belongs. Maple Grove's made some consistent runs, and Essler at St. Michael Albertville is, you know, won a championship, and now they're up in 6A and looking formidable. Who am I forgetting out there? Other coaches.
Well, I think that's it. Well, obviously, Mike Grant is, you know, you talked about him and Ferguson.
Yeah, Ferguson, that's sort of the top tier. And then you have this nice second tier with guys like Vossen and Lamker, and I would put Lombardi in there. And
the thing about Vossen that I've always liked is he's passionate for the game, but he's rational. You know, he'll admit what he's thinking, but he also understands the point of view of those who are reporting on him.
Yeah.
He's willing to engage in a little give and take.
Oh yeah.
You know, he's willing to he'll shoot back at you if you do something that he's not sure of, but he'll also understand why the things that you said and why you did it and won't hold that against you. And that's a pretty terrific way to be, because you know, going in, if we say things about a team, it's never personal. It's just our judgment on football.
Mm-hmm.
But Vossen's very good at understanding the media's point of view and letting the media in when he needs to and give them the things that they want to hear. And he's a terrific quote.
Yeah, I've taken a lot of grief on behalf of your Metro Top 10 from Vossen over the years. I'd like to point that out. I remember one time we were standing.
That's because I always say, take it up with David.
I was standing by the gate. I had their game after you ranked them. I don't even know what it was, you know, and it was lower in the top 10, whatever. And I was standing by the gate, and the team comes out for their pregame warm-up, and Vossen comes by. And he kind of squares up, and he puts his hands on my shoulders. And, you know, he's a big linebacker and still could look like he could inflict some damage. And he said, "Thanks for ranking us 9 or something like that, and then he goes on his way. Like, you could already tell he was going to use that to make sure his troops were salty. So, but yeah, just little things like that. You enjoy that as you said, that give and the take. It makes it fun.
You know, we had also talked about something in the press box at the Prep Bowl with Lakeville North. Where does this leave Lakeville North now? They've gotten that championship that they've been striving so far or so long for, but also at the same time, Lakeville South is looking like they're about ready to come alive. Do you think that Lakeville North's run of terrific football teams going a long way in the playoffs is about ready to start coming to an end, or is going to be much more difficult to sustain with the added growth or with the growth and ascendance of Lakeville South?
You know, ascendance aside, I think that anytime you've got a two high school community, you are limiting your how long you can be a high level program. I think when South goes into the Final Four this year, like they did, I think that's one more reason to look and say, if I'm Lakeville North, I'm getting a little bit nervous, because eventually I think that the legacy schools suffer more and the new schools do better. It's been an anomaly in Lakeville what's happened. Lakeville North has remained strong in many, many sports, and South has had their moments but haven't overtaken North as the preeminent athletic power in that community. I don't know if they'll overtake them as much as I do think Lakeville North starts to come back to the pack a little bit, because you start to run out of a large amount of kids. You start to have the talent distributed. And it's going to make it hard to compete among the places where there is only one school in town. So I do think that if you're Lakeville North, you had to win this one, because your chances could get more challenging as time goes by. Doesn't mean Vossen becomes a worse coach or anything like that. It just means the numbers may not continue to play in your favor.
What about Eden Prairie? Cole Kramer coached three straight teams to the Prep Bowl. He only won one. They lost to Tino Grace 3 years ago, beat Minnetonka last year, and got beat by Lakeville North this year. I think two losses in three Prep Bowls in the past 3 years is also something different for Mike Grant, because I think he'd only lost in one Prep Bowl prior to that. Where does Eden Prairie sit right now? Is this still the preeminent football program in the state?
No question about it. I mean, you said it the best. You said going into the Lakeville North Eden Prairie game, you said the best team, which is Lakeville North this year, is playing against the best program, which is still Eden Prairie by a long shot. And we asked Giegenheimer at Prior Lake and Lombardi at Maple Grove, and we asked who was the third coach? Lambert Brown. Wyzetta, all of whom had played both of those teams this year and lost to them both. And they all felt like a lot what you said. North is the better team, but it's very hard to pick against Eden Prairie in a Prep Bowl situation. So yeah, they're still number one.
And you just got that feeling in the Prep Bowl that, you know, as it got closer and closer and closer, that certainty that this was Lakeville North's year was was becoming more and more in question. That you thought, well, could Eden Prairie pull that upset off? Yes, very well they could, and I think everybody saw that. And then when Eden Prairie came out and led 21-14 and broke off some big plays, and that first half was full of big plays, I think we all thought, wow, could this actually happen here? Could Eden Prairie do what they've done so many times? And even Mike Grant admitted this is not the best team. It's not a good team. It's a very good team. But it wasn't one of the best teams he's had, yet here they were in the Prep Bowl. So yeah, I agree with you. I think Eden Prairie is still there, although I do think that it's starting to get a little harder to maintain.
Yeah, because you had a team, familiarity starts to help these programs. The Tino Grace played Eden Prairie a number of times and then finally overtook them. Lakeville North played them a number of times and finally overtook them, so... You take that experience. These other coaches are smart guys, too, and then you get the athletes, and you give yourself a chance to do something special.
And that's the key point right there. Good athletes, good players make good coaches. You can talk all you want about the coaches, but you got to have the players, and coaches will admit that. One observation I had from the Prep Bowl that I wanted to mention, and this is certainly not a shot at the second-best program in the state, I think, in Caledonia, but man, oh, man, for a team that's as successful as Caledonia is, could those kids smile a little bit? I sat in the press conference after the championship game, and they had just, shut down Barnesville 21-0, their fourth straight championship, ninth or whatever since 2007, and not a single one of those five kids up on the stage was cracking a smile. It wasn't until the end of the press conference when we asked them a little bit about playing for Caledonia and what it means, that one of the players kind of cracked a smirk, but. Same thing happened in the semifinal press conference with Caledonia, and I'm wondering, has winning just become too easy for Caledonia? Are they too dominant in that section down there? Why is it that they seem to not take a whole lot of joy in the intense, incredible success that they've had? Because they have been very, very good in the past decade or so.
Well, like I said earlier about that success matrix, it applies to public schools too. That's not a two-way program and shouldn't be competing as one.
We'll just end it right there then. So thanks, David. I appreciate it. Thanks for joining us on Talking Preps. Next week, it'll be all winter sports. Football is in the rearview mirror. Thanks for joining us.